So, you want to know how to analyze your restaurant financials and how to fix them? I got you. Today in this free training, I'm going to show you exactly how to analyze your restaurant success or lack thereof based on your profit loss statement and your financials. And if you aren't using a profit loss template at the moment, nor doing a very good job at tracking your finances, I'm going to show you how. In fact, you're welcome to have my 12-month profit loss template that I created for free that I'm using in this video, so that you can succeed, because as always, that's my number one goal here, to help you rise up and kill it in your business. Okay, so quickly, I'm Dave Allred, The Real Barman here from barpatrol.net and therealbarman.com. How's everyone doing today? Excellent, I hope. Oh yeah, you can get the free template right here that I just talked about. All right, I normally sell it for like $30, but I'm at the point now where I just want you to have it so you can start making things happen in a good way for your business. Does that make sense? All right, so mostly what we're focusing on today is the profit loss statement, and many of you may be using one to chart how your business is doing. Some of you, maybe not at all. But even for those of you who are using it, the question is, are you using it to analyze what's going on correctly? Because you not only need the profit loss statement to see how you're doing profit loss wise, but it's going to show you exactly where you're succeeding and where you're failing so that you can take the necessary actions to fix it. All right. In other words, you're going to use the P&L as a tool, as a weapon of mass destruction against mediocrity and failure. All right. And yes, that's a powerful and dramatic stuff, because it's not just a piece of paper to glance, to let your eyes just glaze over as you're looking at the paper. All right. This is going to help you turn things around and make you more money. All right. Now, many of you might feel like finances are a burden, but you shouldn't. Okay, you should be excited about it, because the P&L doesn't lie. It's going to give you the reality of the situation. All right, there's nowhere for your business to hide. It is exposed so you can see where to patch the holes. And many owners don't like cold, hard reality because they're afraid of what they might find, so they simply ignore it. All right, they sweep their problems under the rug in hopes that they're going to magically disappear. And these are the ones who should be, slapped in the face with a rubber glove until they wake up, because this lack of responsibility is causing real problems in their business. All right, but the great thing about reality and these cold hard facts is that it's like lifting a fog. All right, where things were once hazy, now they are clear. Okay, the P&L shows you exactly what you're doing right and what you're doing wrong. And this goes back to what I always say, which is, if you don't measure it, you can't manage it. And if you don't manage it, you can't improve it. And if your goal isn't to improve and make more money, then why the hell are you even doing this for? All right, go work for someone else, because running a business probably isn't your jam. All right, but I don't believe that. All right, I believe in you, and the great news is that anyone can learn this. All right, you don't need to possess any like Harry Potter powers to learn how to analyze your numbers. All right, you just have to execute and make sure you're following the steps I'm about to give you in this training. And once you're done here, you're going to make your P&L your little bitch, and you're going to have confidence running your business like you never have before. I promise you. Okay, so off we go. So what we're going to do is we're going to break down your restaurant's financials piece by piece so we can let the healing begin. Okay, so we're going to start off by looking at four key metrics in determining the success of your restaurant. And I'm going to use a real restaurant's monthly P&L as an example so you can visualize how all of this works. All right, this is a restaurant I helped get back on track a few months ago. So the four key metrics we want to look at when analyzing your restaurant and determining where things are going good or where they're going bad, as the case may be, I call them the four pillars of restaurant finances, and they are sales per square foot, do you have good sales volume, prime cost, controllable profit, and occupancy costs. All right, if you can plug the numbers in for your sales, your cost of goods sold, and your expenses, you can easily analyze where you're doing well and where you need help. And of course, you also need the, where your numbers should be at, so you have something to compare it to. These are the industry standards, and I have those numbers for you as well. Now, besides just knowing how to do the financials and the profit loss statement, it's not just about the how, it's about the when. I call it the restaurant owner's circus act. You have so much going on. There's you. You're like perplexed, right? It's not just about the how. You have to find time to hire and train your employees. You have to come up with a concept that works. You have to come up with a menu that people love. You have to come up with cleaning, side work, checklist, following up to make sure employees are doing it correctly. You have to take inventory. You have to track that, because that's huge losses going on there. You have to come up with marketing, promotions, make sure you're getting people into the restaurant. And we have to worry about the finances. right? What we're talking about today. And you have all this juggling going on with this circus act with everything you have to do. And you are constantly wondering the question, you know, is it working? Right? You're putting all this together. Is it working? Well, the profit loss helps us determine if it's working financially. Now, it's not going to tell you if your marketing's working, how many people you're getting into your door, but it's going to compare your cost to your sales and show you what's working there. So now let's get into it. Okay, let's get into sales per square foot. And I'm just going to get completely out of the way here. So the formula for sales per square foot for your restaurant is total annual sales divided by the square footage of your restaurant. And when we're talking about the square footage of your restaurant, we're talking about everything. Okay, we're talking about your dining area, we're talking about your kitchen, we're talking about the restrooms, we're talking about the bar, the storage rooms, everything that's in your building is going to be part of the square footage because everything in your building is what it costs to operate it. Okay, so let's talk about the industry standards of sales per square foot, because you have to determine your sales per square foot and then you have to compare it against what it should be. Otherwise, you have no idea where you are and if you need to fix anything. Does that make sense? Okay, so we're gonna talk about full service, quick service, and what the result is. All right, so if you are making less than, and that's what this little sign is, that's less than, if you learned that in third grade math, less than 100 square feet or less than 200 square feet if you're quick service, you're bleeding money. All right, you're in trouble if you're making that. All right, if you're making 150 to 250 or 200 to 300, you're at the break-even point. So you need to get to $250 or $300 if you're quick service just to break even. All right, if you're getting to the 250 to 450 for full service or 300 to 500 for quick service, you're making an average profit. And if you can boost it all the way up to greater than 450 square feet or 500 square feet, you are killing it. Now, what does that mean, average profit or killing it? Well, the average profit would be right around 5 to 10% for an average profit. And if you're killing it, you're making greater than 10%. And I know that sounds sad in the restaurant business, but it's simply facts, all right? The average restaurant makes about 3 to 6% in profit before taxes. So if you make $1 million a year, you're making $30,000 to $60,000 before you even pay taxes. It's very sad, okay? So now let's look at an example just so you can paint a picture. Okay, remember, total annual sales divided by the square footage of your restaurant, and I'm just going to use this template that we're about to look at. Again, this is the free template that you get to have. It's a 12-month template. We're going to go over it in a minute. We're going to use this as an example. This is a monthly statement, all right? So they made $114,361. I'll zoom in here, for the month. So I'm just going to multiply 14,000 times 12. I know they're not going to make the exact same every single month, but just for argument's sake, let's do 114,000 times 12 and you get $1.37 million per year. That's a good average size for full service restaurant sales. Okay. Now, again, annual sales, 1.37 million. So if the building is 5,000 square feet and we divide, we're going to get 274 square feet. Sales per square feet. Okay. And if we look back at our industry average, that puts us right here. Okay. And the average profit. So at least they're making a profit here. Okay. And that was the case when I took a look at them. All right. So now let's look at occupancy costs as it applies to sales per square foot. Okay. So you need to be in the $15 to $25 per square foot range to be at a good number, okay? Once you get over to $25 to $30 per square feet or beyond, you need to increase your sales. That's really the only solution because your occupancy costs are kind of set. And if you divide the projected, so here's what I was gonna say. So if you get beyond $30 per square feet, you have to increase your sales because you can't change your occupancy costs unless you renegotiate your rent with the landlord. Okay, so you need to take your current sales divided by your occupancy cost to get this number. If you haven't yet started a business, then you need to divide your projected occupancy cost by the square footage, and then you get that number. Does that make sense? And your occupancy costs include your rent, your insurance, and your building maintenance. Now, I have seen all sorts of profit loss statements throughout my career, and I mean all over the board. And the problem is that either the owner is doing it and he or she isn't really well educated on how to do it yet, or you have an accountant or bookkeeper who's using QuickBooks and the basic P&L template that isn't even a restaurant P&L, so it doesn't break things down by category. In addition, they don't understand the importance of cost percentages and how vital it is to be able to see not only what they are, but be able to compare those numbers to what they should be. So I see ones like this, and as you can see, it's very basic. And I've grayed out the details up top so we don't see which business this is, but there is very little information that's going to help us determine the problem areas because there are no percentages and no comparisons. Just the dollar amounts over here on the right, and over here they just have sales. Where are the categories? And not just food and bar. I need liquor, bottled beer, draft beer, wine, because each of these pour at a different cost percentage. Same with the cost of goods sold. I need them broken down by category. All right, so this is just a crappy P&L. Don't do this. With my template, on the other hand, I've added both the categories and the industry standards next to each category so you can measure how you're doing. You won't see this on most other P&L templates. They don't have the industry standards right there. This gives you a reference and tells you where you need to fix things. And if you don't use my template, that's fine. But make sure your template is broken down by category and that you have the industry standards for you to reference. In addition, as I've mentioned, my template is a 12-month template. You can see all the months here along the bottom that you can click on. So each month you're filling this out. Right here, we have year to date. This is going to give you the overall average of where you're at. So each month you're going to fill this out. And a month by month basis, something might get out of whack one month. Like you might have to do extra ordering or you might have extra labor on. It might be way out of whack, but your year to date numbers are the average overall. So you should be within this range on the year to date. Does that make sense? So in this example, I just kind of made one up in February. You can see the numbers here that we entered for February and the average numbers come out over here. And they're all a little bit different. You can pause the video if you want to take a look at this, but the year to date numbers over time will be your overall average. Does that make sense? Now, my profit loss statement is a summary statement, which means the expenses here and everything is a little bit brief. It gives the overall expenses of everything here. If you really want to get detailed, and I suggest you do at some point, all right, you can look and see, this is another example of a P&L. You can see they have it broken down in a lot more different categories than I have on there. This is called a detailed P&L, and it really helps you identify every single area of your business to see what's really going on. I really suggest this to really break down what's going on in your business so you can find out what's good and what's bad and not just more of a summary. The summary is good for those who don't have time to do the detailed one, so this is still very helpful. But for example, when it comes to a detailed P&L, instead of just saying that marketing costs you $15,000 this month, you can break it down to promotions, social media, print, radio, although nobody does radio anymore. This isn't 1976, but you get the point. The more detailed you are, the better you can analyze and see exactly where your money's going. So if $13,000 of your $15,000 marketing dollars went toward radio, there's something you might want to change before you get stoned to death by your investors for putting all of your eggs into the radio basket. So now let's get into the profit loss statement basics. So the basic profit loss statement is going to consist of sales, COGS or cost of goods sold, labor, your expenses, both controllable and non-controllable, depreciation and interest expenses, and that's going to give you your net profit before taxes. Okay, so let's break this down further. Your sales minus all of your expenses is going to equal your net profit before taxes. That's in general. Okay, so let's reset this. These two here, highlighted in yellow, that's your prime cost, okay, which many consider one of the most important metrics around, which we're going to get into in just a minute. But your COGS, or cost of goods sold, everything you purchase, plus your labor cost put together is your prime cost, and when you divide that by your total sales for a given time period, that's going to give you your prime cost percentage. Okay, let's reset again. Now I'm going to break this down just a little bit more so you can see. Your sales minus your COGS equals your gross profit. And then once we get that, we subtract it by the rest of your expenses. And once again, that gives us our net profit before taxes. Does that make sense? So now let's bring up our trusty profit loss statement. Show our example here. So here's sales. Here's cost of goods sold. Here's the labor. All that makes up prime cost. And most P&Ls don't have the prime cost built right in. We do right here, as well as the industry standard. You should be at 55 to 65%. They are at 64.7. They barely made the cut. So they're inside the numbers, but they could be better, of course. Then, of course, we go down here to our controllable and non-controllable expenses, our depreciation, interest, and other. And then we got our profit before taxes all the way down here. So that's what we just covered. Now, one other thing I want to make very clear. This is very important. So get your pen and notebook out. You should have your profit loss, I touched on this earlier, broken down by category. Okay, not just bar and food. Okay, we're talking food, non-alcoholic, liquor, bottled beer, draft beer, wine, retail, catering. Have it all broken down. When you do this, when you want to learn cost percentage, if you're going to do cost percentage manually and you don't have a fancy template like this that calculates it for you, you've got to divide the category by category, like by like. Okay, you can't go food cost of good divided by total sales. You're going to get a completely wrong number. Has to be food cost of goods divided by food sales. All right, liquor cost of goods divided by liquor sales. Does that make sense? You have to divide like by like. I see some owners will bring me this and they'll be like, my numbers are all wrong. And they've been dividing a category by the total sales. And then they throw their arms up in the air like an angry orangutan because everything just looks off. So make sure you're dividing like by like. Now, let's get back to prime cost now. Now, prime costs are important because you can control some of it. You control how much you spend on COGS. You can control the labor to a point. All right, you can't cut your labor to the point where you have horrible service, but you can control it. And there's certain tactics and certain strategies you can do to bring down your prime costs. And if you do that, you make more money, of course. So the prime cost formula is your COGS plus your labor divided by total sales. Okay, and we just talked about that, and we showed you on the sheet there. So the industry standard again is 55 to 65%, and as we showed on our little sheet here, we are at 64.7. So we're gonna look for ways to improve that. Okay, and then finally, the final thing we're looking at here is controllable profit, and the controllable profit formula is, and controllable profit comes from controllable expenses. And like I said, controllable expenses are things that you can control to a point. Things like music and entertainment and marketing and utilities don't use so much electricity. Those are things you can control. Non-controllable, things like your rent, unless you renegotiate your contract. Okay, so your total controllable profit formula is your total sales minus your prime cost minus your controllable expenses. Okay, and the industry standard for this is 20 to 25%. And if we head back to our little sheet here, we can see if we go total sales minus your prime costs minus your controllable expenses, this is the number you get. That's your total controllable profit. And as you can see, they're right at 21%. So they're hanging right in there. They're not doing too bad. Of course, we also want to do better than not too bad, but they're not doing too bad here. Okay, and then the final thing we're going to talk about here before we talk about some solutions is occupancy costs. And the occupancy cost formula is occupancy divided by total sales. Very basic. Okay, so the industry standard for this is 8 to 10%. So if we bring up our little sheet here again, you can see that they are occupancy costs right at 12.7%. So they're high right here. All right, so this is one of their problems. But again, the only way to improve this number is to raise your sales, because you're not going to change your rent unless you're at the end of your lease and you can renegotiate. Okay, so let's really quick, the last thing we're going to do on this video is talk about some of the solutions. All right, and it's not a complete video on how to fix everything, but I do want to show you some ideas that we have. So let's talk about some of the problems first that they have here, and we're looking at the industry standard. So if you look at their food, their cost of goods, over here, okay, first off, these numbers are percentage of sales. So 44% of their sales are from food. So this is not cost percentage over here. Okay, and then 32.6% is from liquor. Okay, so this is percentage of sales. I don't want you to get confused on there. When we get down to cost of goods, this is the cost percentage number. So industry standard says that their food should be at 28 to 32%. This is not, all these numbers aren't perfect, but they're a general ballpark to give you an idea. So they're a little high on food costs. Okay, liquor is supposed to be at 16 to 19. They're at 23.7. Everything's high here. Bottled beer, the only thing that's right in there is draft beer, barely. Wine can be all over the place, 22 to 35%. They're at 42.8. So they got a lot of problems in their cost of goods sold right here that can be fixed, which is good news. I mean, it's bad news that this is happening, but if you weren't making a profit and all these numbers were good, then you'd really be scratching your head. Okay. And then when we come down to labor, you can see the industry standards here. They're right in line with their management payment. They're right in line with their hourly staff and their employee benefits. So their labor actually looks pretty good. This is what's helping them make a profit right here. So we can see a big problem right now is their cost of goods sold. They're spending too much. It's so easy to spend too much money on your cost of goods sold. So you got your storage room all filled up. Okay, and then we get down to their prime costs. We already talked about that. And all the way down to your controllable profit, which they're in line with that. And then the occupancy cost. Okay, so you can see by spotting these areas, where the problems are, and we can see that it's not really in labor. There's nothing wrong with trying to improve labor, but it's really right here in their cost of goods sold. Okay, so let's head back to the drawing board and let's talk about some of the solutions. So first off, let's talk about liquor and food cost problems, which is where this place really had some problems. So first off, you need to set your par levels. Okay, you need to order efficiently. When you don't have your par set and you're just ordering from the hip, all right, you're either running out of stuff or you've ordered way too much. It's so easy to order too much. Your liquor room's overstocked and you're just spending capital on stuff you don't need. So if you can see what you're going through each week, multiply your usage times two. I have a video on how to set your par levels. Then you can keep it lean and mean and efficient and you won't spend too much and your cost percentage will come down. Okay, you need to track your inventory. Of course, you know this is my bread and butter inventory. You need to spot check your bartenders, make sure they're pouring accurately. You need to have a good inventory system for this, like we have at Bar Patrol. Super important. Portion control. This is both for the bar and for the kitchen. For the kitchen, you can speed things up by pre-portioning the food, like in little baggies for certain recipes. So when they're making something, they can just pour it out of the baggie, pour it out of the container, and they can make it a lot quicker. Plus, they're not over portioning the recipe, whatever they're making. They're not putting too much in. Saves you a lot of money. Build vendor relationships. When you have good relationships with your vendors, they give you deals, they give you the best prices. You can bulk things, get bulk products, so you're saving money. They give you swag, they give you free stuff, so you can like hand it out on trivia night and get people all excited so they come in more. Build vendor relationships. And then you need to eliminate waste, and this seems obvious, but people order too much, especially of the perishable items. Sorry, I couldn't think of it. All right, and then you need to upsell bar products, the premium bar products, and I have a video that I go in depth on this. Well versus premium products, and the well brings your cost percentage down, but also lowers your profit, so you need to make sure you're selling things like Grey Goose and Don Julio and all those things, because they'll raise your cost percentage, but actually raise your profits, which is more important. Because we put dollars in the banks, not cost percentages. Okay, now let's talk about labor cost problems. All right, and some of these are obvious, but do you actually do them? You know, for scheduling, you need to stagger the end times. Don't bring everyone in at 4 o'clock when you're slow and everyone's standing around doing nothing. All right, bring someone in at 4, then 5, then 5:30 and 6. Stagger your end times. And then reverse order, cut the floor when it's slow. Don't just keep people on all night. If it's slow, get them out of there. I know they're going to whine, they made no money, but too bad. All right, and then you need to schedule your strongest servers on the busiest shifts. And if you have a good POS system, you can identify this. Otherwise, maybe you just know off the top of your head. Use QR order and pay system like GoTab. All right, if you know me, you know I love GoTab because it reduces your labor by a huge amount. It actually increases your sales. So go check out one of my videos on GoTab. It'll really help your labor and increase your sales. And then use POS analytics to spot inefficiencies. Something like Upserve, which I also love, can do this with your strongest servers. It identifies which ones turn the tables the fastest, sell the most, and then you can put them on the busiest shifts. You can also pair them with weaker servers. Helps your labor costs in a big way. And then occupancy cost problems. You need to renegotiate your lease agreement. Good luck. That's about it. I've talked about this before. All right, and then other strategies to increase your sales so you can lower things like your occupancy cost and the other costs. All right, sales solves everything. That's the saying in business. You want to solve your problems, increase your sales. All right, you can add more tables as long as it's not too crowded. You don't want people on top of each other, but if you have a spread out place, see if you can add some more tables. Add outdoor patio or seating area. All right, a lot of people were forced to do this during COVID, actually helped increase their sales now that everyone's back inside too. Add catering, especially bar catering. And maybe I'll do a video on this because you would be blown away on what bar catering can do. You know, food catering as well, but bar catering is amazing because people pay a pre-package for your bar offer and catering, and then they don't drink all the alcohol. And so you have that alcohol for the next catering. So you're actually reselling what was already sold and your profits are like 95%. It's unbelievable. So bar catering, use text message marketing, which is huge on the up and coming. I have a video on that you can go look at. Increase table turnover. That's kind of obvious. There's different strategies for that. And then increase check averages. There are strategies for that as well. So this isn't a video on solely how to increase your sales and cut your costs. I have other videos for that. But I wanted to give you a basic idea on the strategy for looking for problem areas and then forming solutions that will help you correct those problem areas. All right, in other words, get creative on cutting your costs and increasing your sales, and your profit loss statement will sing in celebration. All right, and so will I, for you. I mean, I won't actually sing to you because that's going to ruin your day, but you get the point. All right, so I hope this helped give you a better idea of how crucial it is that you not only take the time to fill out your profit loss statement every month, but actually analyze and understand it. All right, if you look at the most successful restaurants when it comes to being profitable, there's a direct correlation between how often things like financial reports and inventory is being recorded and how profitable the restaurant is. All right, the longer periods of time between reports and inventory, the lower the profit. Much lower. It's staggering. All right, and the shorter period of time between those things, the more profitable. All right, so don't take your profit loss or any of your financials lightly. Know your numbers and learn how to fix them. Okay, so get on it, take action, execute. It will be worth it, I promise. And then go ahead and download my free P&L template if you like. All right, it's pretty awesome. And I hope it helps you move toward a more successful future. Kill it. Get out there and kill it. All right, thanks for being here. I do appreciate it. I'm going to see you next time. I'm out.